We'll go on to the main meeting now. Acknowledgement of country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land in which the meeting is held and pays respect to the elders both past and present and extends that respect to the Aboriginal people who are present. Would everybody please turn off their mobile telephones, please, if you've got them on. And now, before we start the meeting, I'd like to have a minute of silence for ex-Shire President John Knight. Will everybody stand for a minute of silence, please? Thank you for that.
Mr. Mayor, just a reminder that the council meeting tonight is recorded and will be placed on the web after the meeting. So, councillors, please contain your comments.
I'll call for apologies. Any apologies? Neil. Confirmation of minutes of the meeting held on 18th of July 2019. Councillor Nancy. Seconder, Councillor Doolan. Fred? Nothing to debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Councillor Nucci? Carried. Unanimous. Closure of interest, pecuniary or non-pecuniary conflict of interest. Any, have you got anybody with any tonight? Councillor Doolan?
One might be an insignificant non-monetary conflict of interest. One of the people who's written a submission in relation to the pool is the principal of the high school, who happens to be my sister. Significant, but I think it should be noted.
And a non-pecuniary interest.
Non-pecuniary?
That's item 16, councillors.
Non-pecuniary interest.
Motion to
move. Over. Councillor Cable. Councillor Hill. Any debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried.
Okay. Unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Show of hands, please. Everyone in favour? Carried. Carried. Unanimous. We'll go on to the mayoral minute now. Councillor's monthly travel claim. Mover. Councillor Cable, Councillor Hill. Any debate on this item? Put the motion. Those in favour? Aye. Carried. Unanimous. Item 2, Bush Summit held in Dubbo on 18th of July.
Move.
Move Councillor Shinton. Seconder. Councillor Lewis. Any debate on this item? the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 3, Country Mayors Association in Sydney. Mover? Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think it's quite a comprehensive report. Thank you very much. And it's in the sort of English that I like to read. Well done.
Thank you.
Anybody in favour?
Well done, Aaron.
Yeah, hand. Unanimous. Item 4, the RRC Tree Pipe Advisory Committee, held on the 30th of July. Councillor Hill, Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Carried unanimously. Item number 5, Coonabarabran Emergency Water Supply Project. A mover? Yeah. Councillor Brady, Councillor Cable. Any discussion on this item?
It's a question.
Councillor Cable.
The final hydrological report and the site visit, are they also going to be looking further east for other potential water sources, which has been raised in meetings in the past?
With other bores that are further east?
Future bores, if we need them.
Not too sure what you refer to.
Councillor Shenton raised in one of the water meetings that he felt there was more water further east of Coonabarabran. So are we investigating that as the...
Well, currently, the hydrogeological study will only cover what we already have, because only in those areas we can actually put level transducers and level instrumentation in and lock that. So we're looking at all the bores that we currently have in, plus the test bores. And the bores were chosen strategically because they're close to the current infrastructure. So should we in the future put any more bores anywhere else, that means we'll have to construct mains, which is
going to be costly.
So that's at this stage that is not being looked at, not as part of this study.
Yeah. Just to further explain that, perhaps outline the reason why the study is being done, and that is in relation to an application for licence.
Yes. As further in the report, it's also stated that our current groundwater allocation for Coonabarabran is only 50 megalitres per year, which has obviously significantly been exceeded because of our reliance on groundwater. We need to... Why that happened is because the proper process to apply for a licence could not be followed due to our situation, so we needed to kind of speed it up, which was agreed with the relevant bodies, but that means that's how we ended up with this reduced amount, which is insufficient. So to do that properly now, we have to submit an application, a special purpose license, I think it's called, through NRA, and it will be assessed by DPIE, which is the Department of Planning, Industry and Environment Water. And to assess it, they require that hydrogeological report and assessment to see, you know, if there is an impact and can they grant whatever we're going to apply for. So that's why we really need that, and because they will make their assessment on those bases and they will have to consider the current water sharing plan and all that. So, that will to explain why we actually currently need it.
Well, any more questions on that article? Motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Local Government, item 6. Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference Motions. Got a mover? Councillor Cable, Councillor Doolan. Any debate on these, Councillor Cable?
I would like to raise a potential motion whereby DPI Water actually formally has to inform the local government when a water irrigation bore has been applied for. At the moment, the only way local government is aware is if it turns up in a local advertisement in a paper. There's been recently an irrigation bore licence granted in the Shire, and the advertisement was in the Mudgee Guardian, which is Midwestern, not our river systems, nothing. So it was missed by everyone local. So I think it's about time the DPI Water formally let local government know when there's irrigation, because it can affect our bores, and I think towns take priority over irrigation. And we can't object if we don't know.
And are you suggesting also that we request that they advertise in the local government area as well?
Oh, yes. Okay. They're supposed to. In the local paper. They just didn't know where the local paper was.
Would you like some information then, Councillor Cable? Seconder, Councillor Lewis. I'll put that vote up. Everybody in favour?
Mr. Mayor, if we could just do a bit of cleaning up here, sorry. There's already a motion there. I suggest that gets included in that original motion, if satisfactory with the mover and seconder being Councillor Doolan. And the next part is that there'd be another point there, just authorising the Mayor and General Manager to do a bit of wordsmithing around the motion before it goes off to conference. Is that satisfactory, Mr. Mayor?
Everybody agreeable to that? Carried.
Yeah, geez, I'm happy about it. Is that the only one?
Well, yeah.
I was just going to say.
We can add some more before we finalise the motion. I just would like to foreshadow what will be discussion when we get to item 12, which is the public forum policy, which is part of our new code of conduct. And one of the line items in that is that the only people allowed to speak at the forum will be people who've got something to say in relation to the business paper. And as we know, well, since I've been on council, we've had some very informative people come to speak at the forum who haven't been speaking about things in the business paper, and it's been quite important to the council to learn information that we didn't know. So I think that limiting people to be only able to speak about what's in the business paper is a retrograde step that we should oppose.
I support that motion, because I was going to raise it in that part of the paper. Especially in communities such as our size, where we only have the monthly meeting.
Oh, I want something.
You'd like to move that as a motion? Yeah.
Well, is it an amendment to the motion that we've already got?
If okay, Mr. Mayor, can we add it to the previous motion and again allow the Mayor and General Manager to appropriately word?
Sprinkle some fairy dust on it, that'd be fine.
Everybody agreeable? Harry,
any further items?
Any more further items?
Yeah, I do want to raise the asbestos one. We spoke to the Office of Local Government that the legislation be looked at and the one size fits all policy be done away with. And also that the asbestos in the LGA's got to go to one tip, where Dunedoo people got a wheelbarrow full of asbestos. They've got to drive to Coonabarabran and pay $112 minimum fee. Dunlay, two garbage bags full of asbestos. Little wonder it ends up in the bush. Should every rubbish tip should have an asbestos receival thing, even if it's only a hook pin that can be moved to a centralised location at a later date. But the situation's getting ridiculously out of hand. As the OLG said the other day, the asbestos is getting that profitable now. It's been run by organised crime. So if we keep it up, we'll be in the same boat. We've been given the warning. Let's take heed of it.
Could we extend that a little bit more and put in something like that we'd be proposing that it should be free to deliver asbestos to your local tip, because putting the price on that we do is forcing it into the bush, and it's forcing people to come to areas like ours where some of the tips aren't manned at night, so it's encouraging illegal tipping the whole time. So I'd like to see us extend it and suggest that it should be free to tip something as dangerous as asbestos in a local tip rather than in the bush.
The issue
is more to clean it up in the bush.
The issue there, though, Councillor, is this. This is a proposed motion to the Local Government New South Wales Conference. What you're talking about there is a local policy. Council is the one who chooses to charge.
I think this is something that the state government should be looking at and saying we should subsidise this.
Yeah.
Where I was heading.
Yeah.
Favour of that?
No. Councillor Lewis, would you contact, speak with Ms Ryan after this meeting and just get the wording in relation to that motion?
Yep, that's not a hassle.
Thank you.
The motion, everybody in favour? Gary.
Unanimous, Mr Mayor.
Unanimous. Stronger Country Community Fund, round three. Mr Mover. Councillor Lewis. Seconder. Councillor Hill.
Mr Mayor, there seems to be some confusion in the public about this round of funding. It's been put out to councillors on their iPads, a letter from Mark Harley down at Binaway. They've gone on their own to seek funding. They didn't realise it had to go through council.
Doesn't.
Does that put them at a disadvantage if they're not on this list? And also, the other confusion is the round of funding that's going around at the moment that people have to go into their local centres and vote on, a lot of them are duplicated on this list. Does that mean they're in for two goes, or are they in for one? Or because I've got another Binaway one, the showground want to do up their facilities to bring horse sports back into the town, and I asked them to put in for this. They said, "Oh no, we're going for the other one. We're not in for that." But all the others are on both lists.
For you, Mr. Mayor, the other one's a popularity vote. We're going to be lucky to get any.
But the thing is, yeah. Binaway's not on this list. They're on the popularity one. There's ones that are on the popularity one that are on this list, and I think someone's double-dipping or it's a bit unfair.
To respond to those questions, Mr Mayor, first of all, it is open to the general public to be applying for this. So this is what we're talking about council applying for. The Binaway group, they're more than welcome, or any other group is more than welcome to make application in their own right. It doesn't have to come through council. It's a competitive process. And in relation to your next point about items being duplicated, to the best of my knowledge, there's only one item here that is duplicated on that list, and that's the Cooler Bowen Oval Skate Park.
No, the Mandurin.
Mandurin.
Is as well the oval fence.
My apologies. So anyway, there's two items there that are on that list. There is no guarantee that they're going to get funding on that program, and what we're talking about here is these are council assets that we're talking about. So if council if we are going to be successful, then the facility is going to go into a council asset, so we need to manage and control the construction of that improvement. In addition to that, we're talking about an oversubscription here at this point in time. So the funding level was just short of $800,000, whereas the funding applications that we're talking about here is closer to, I think, about $1.2 million. So if the government doesn't like particular projects that we have here, then they can go down the list and say, well, we'll cut off that one and we'll put this one in instead. It's just to try and make sure that the full allocation of $796,000 comes to this local government area and doesn't get undersubscribed.
What my question is, or what my point is we've got a lady from council helping the Binaway group to try and get their funding. They've told them not to put it on this list. How come Binaway's not on here and the other ones are? That's basically the long and short of it.
This list, I can't remember what the project is for Binaway. Can you help me?
Revitalising the horse sports in Binaway, the showground.
Asset. Is that a council asset?
Yes. I believe it is. Yeah. I think we're the trustees of the showground.
can't tell you off the top of my head.
If it also helps, I think another project they're applying for was the youth worker, I think, Dara, which would be outside of our scope. So I think
Potentially. Anyway, it was my understanding that it wasn't a council asset, but nonetheless they can still apply for it themselves in their own right. This is just the council prioritisation, order of prioritisation.
Okay, my problem was that the people at Cooler, there's a group there who have organised to put in funding for the skate park, and they've done an excellent job, and they came up with a different amount of required for to complete this project. They reckoned it was going to be $162,950, and all of a sudden we're asking for $200,000. Are we doing something extra?
Theirs doesn't include the DA fees and the tree removal, because the council cost to tree removal they felt was very high.
And another one...
In addition to that, also, councillors, you might recall that we considered the Barradine Skate Park at the previous council meeting. No, that wasn't considered at the council meeting, was it, Kevin? Tenders have recently come in for the Barradine Skate Park, it is more expensive than we originally expected. Now, this is just a starting point. If you don't like it, change it.
Why don't we just throw it away?
Do it.
That's what I think.
Yeah, because there are too many good projects out there that they haven't even come to council yet. I got one the other day, and I said, how far are you through this one? She said, I'm going to go and see the council people and see what they think of this project. It's on council land, but it's going to be pushing to get there, but at least there are people out there thinking, and we're starting to prioritise things that have come in. And I agree with what's been said here. But I also looked at...
Can I just respond to that point?
Sorry?
Can I just respond to that point?
Yep.
The issue there is giving council staff sufficient time to get the application ready and submitted.
These people are doing it themselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which...
We don't. They're not using you. And you can see why, because you're whacking in higher prices. I mean, you've got something here, Milling Park, Dunedoo Skate Park Shade Cover, $60,000. That's absurd. It's another problem, because the skate park has never been part of our list. It was always the playground equipment. Now, all of a sudden, this one, that's been there for 4 or 5 years, and this one's come in as a newbie, as far as I'm concerned. It was the children's play area that was required to be covered with shade sails, and I got a bit of a shock when I saw that it was now the skate park. What's happened to little kids? It's dropped right off the list. And I'm sure that there are more... We've had lists upon lists of these sort of things, and to me, I don't know who's been picking the eyes out of it, but there's a lot of good projects out there, and they're not here. And I don't think we've got time to sit here tonight and discuss every one of them, one by one. But I'm not happy about prioritising at this stage, when there's still more to come in, and we've still got time at the end of the month, next month. I think this closed on the 20th or something.
27th.
20-something, yeah.
Yep.
So we've still got time to look at all this.
But that's going to give council staff a very short period of time to put together good costings and a proper application to submit.
These aren't good costings. These are really ballpark figures.
These are ballpark figures,
yeah.
Only.
Well, this is what it's all about. How come, we've got to... If you do it as a community member, you've got to pay for your DA and have it ready. You blokes, you don't pay for your DA.
Well,
you wait until you know what's happening. No, we don't have that opportunity, and that's what annoys me about this whole setup.
It's not you blokes, it's council.
No, council then. Well, it's not me. I don't put a DA fee on. But,
yes, you do.
I don't personally put a DA fee on.
The council body does.
I realise that.
Yeah, of which you're the member.
What's the project you were talking about, Peter?
Sorry?
What's the project?
The project?
Yeah.
I got it on the iPad the other night. I think you got it too.
Did everyone receive from Paula Duggan?
Yeah.
Excellent project.
It is.
Could turn this town around.
Another one today.
I just think we let the ball drop. Like the other two rounds, we had community consultation, we had workshops as councillors, and that this is our first thing, and we're a month out from closing. Like there's $800,000 coming into our shire that we just haven't done it right.
From that point of view, councillors, this was a report to the previous council which indicated this would be the process. That's what council agreed on, so it's how it's been submitted. In previous rounds, like the Drought Communities Program, we went through that consultation process. The council wasn't happy with it, threw out what was put up as a result of that consultation process and put in what it wanted.
Councillor Cable.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. When we do the community consultation rounds, October, November, can I suggest number one on the agenda is asking each community exactly what their projects are that they want seen done, so we can have them costed, ready to go when opportunities come up. We're always behind the eight ball. We've brought this up before as a body. And it falls back on community to cost. That's why I know, for example, the Bowen Lights were done, because there was a lot of work done by four community members to get all the costings sorted for that. And same with the Jump the Stump. They've been working with consultants and concept designs for quite a while now. So I think we need to be on the front foot, asking each community, what is your priority? Even if we put out a how to vote thing in the papers or online, whatever. So we've got that consultation backing when we do have future grant rounds.
I appreciate, through you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager, that time's of the essence, but would, because the work has to be, you know, the next meeting would be unacceptable, the time frame's too short, could we have a small workshop amongst ourselves within the next week? We could organise that to get in here and reprioritise things. Would that be acceptable?
I do think that all the... Oh, I shouldn't be talking. I should hope.
No, you're right. Would that be helpful? Is that a way to move business on tonight and get a more consensus outcome if we... Think, Pete?
Oh, well, I don't know who put this list together. Nothing to do with councillors. Absolutely nothing.
Well, be that as it may, do you want to come back next week and talk about what...
Probably on my way next week a lot of the day, so it'd be interesting to see which day you're going to pick. But
I do.
I don't understand why we're doing it. This is a different ask this time. The minister made it available to people in all around, and they're all having a go. And I just, when I saw this, and most of those projects that I know of that are coming in aren't on there, wonder what the hell was happening. You know, I thought that, you know, what, have we just flung these people out already? Because we're going to pick them, and as soon as they see that we're doing this, I think that'll cool their heels. They won't go ahead with it. Oh, you reckon they will?
Okay, they should. Fine. They should.
They and should. I realise that too.
If you read the letter from the Deputy Premier, Mr. Barilaro, it makes it quite clear that community groups are more than welcome to put their stuff in, and it's not judged as firstly, it's judged on community support.
That's right.
So if somebody had been away or somebody at Cooler wants to put something in and they've got community support, well, good luck. They should get success.
Correct.
And as far as...
A little organisation with a few members, how are they going to weigh up against councils? You know,
done it before.
Well, they could be more successful. They could be, but I just... Yeah. I think that we should have really went to consultation and worked with community groups and spoke about their ideas and that and worked together for the best outcome for everyone. I think we're going in competition with our own communities, and, you know, as much as I want the Sport and Rec Hall to be state of the art, and that, but we have spent a lot of money down there already, and then we're going to invest $325,000 more there, where I think there's other things in our town that could benefit.
Other suggestions on this idea? Item?
$100,000 for a fence around our oval. It's life-changing.
When I first raised the issue, Mr. Mayor, it's impossible for us to vote on the ones that are in the business paper, as Peter's pointed out, because we don't know what we're up against. As I know for a fact that Binaway Progress is in for one for 150 grand or something. Someone else is in for money in the vicinity of $100,000. Well, that's another $250,000 on top of the figures we've already mentioned, and how many other people out there have gone on their own to get this funding? It's not a level playing field.
My opinion, anyway.
Anybody with any suggestions what we should do?
I would like to have a workshop ASAP and try to, talk to some community and work with them, because it's the benefit of the council as well, because they could be still putting in for the funding as their group, but we could support them, and then that
takes away
the weight of the staff to put, in this short time frame, the organisation might be able to, and we might be able to support them with support letters and, a few man hours to do that. That's what we're here for. We're here to work with people, not against.
We've got to get everyone on the same level. Look, the lady in Binaway, Ross, told me that going for the stuff for the showground, she was concerned that if I spoke to council about this anomaly, that they'd be struck off the list. But they're not on the list to be struck off. So
they haven't applied for
me. They've applied. They've applied, but they haven't applied through council.
No.
But they don't have to.
Councillor Dolan?
Well, I was just reading the Deputy Premier's letter again. It does say we're urged to consult with the community, so I think if we were going to have a workshop in the near future, anyone that wanted to present their stuff would be more than welcome to come along and... We'd have to get on with it, that's all. We'd have to move reasonably quickly, that's all.
The list that we've considered, both costings here and otherwise, have come from previous rounds of consultation, either through the Stronger Country Communities Program, the Drought Communities Program, the community consultation sessions that we go through. So it has already been through consultation processes to put things onto the list. Now, it hasn't been through the consultation process as to prioritisation, but that's a role for council, and that's what I got from the last round of Drought Communities, which we put up.
How bad's the roof on the Barradine Hall when you've done all the internal work? So why didn't you start at the roof? Just a query. In my mind, you do your floor level first, so it's flush, then you do your roof, so it doesn't leak, then you do the internals. You don't do everything else and get them damaged because you've got a leaking roof. That doesn't have any common sense around it.
If we had a workshop, could we add all of them to this list and send it down or not?
We don't choose the projects that get funded. The state chooses the project on merit.
Mm. And Roger, I take on board that you said there has been community consultation, but that was 12 months ago, 18 months ago, whatever else, and that it's not specific for this, and things change in time, and I really don't know if they would look at consultation 12 months ago would be apply for it, apply to this actual round of funding. Because I look at something simple as the Arning Circle in the park, and it's open for consultation for 2 months for people to comment on it. $6,000 yarning circle in the park. We're talking about $800,000 here, and we're not doing the consultation.
Any ideas? Some more ideas?
Workshop
as soon as possible. And everyone that's made contact or whatever, asked to come and just a 5-minute talk on it, on their project.
You'd like to move it?
I will.
Got a seconder. Councillor Doolan. How do we get everyone to, right? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Went for, Mr. Mayor.
We've already got a motion on the board.
Have we?
Yep.
Oh, we've got to change that.
Got to amend that motion that's on the board, I think.
Yep.
Got to amend. Councillor Brady, you'd like to make an amendment?
I make it? Yeah. Yep.
Seconder. Councillor Doolan, agreeable? I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
What's the amendment?
Huh?
What is the amendment? What's the amendment?
To put them all in.
Get that resolved.
Workshop.
A workshop as soon as possible. Are we?
And invite any others we're aware of doing applications.
I just look at the email that we received off Paula Duggan about the park and whatever else, and that, you know, I think we could really support it. Support them. They've done a bit of groundwork.
Going nowhere. What's that motion we've got? Amendment moved, Councillor. Workshop run as soon as possible. Everybody in favour of that one?
When's this going to be held, Mr. Mayor?
9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
When and where? Rightio. When?
One day off this week.
Who's away next week? You're away.
Depends on what day. I've got something over second
I'm
day.
I'm away virtually all next week.
That's some dates.
Look at the funding applications.
What suggestions?
I'm fine next week.
I'm fine. I'll move my things around. I think this is priority.
I'll be away Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
A Friday morning?
It could be Friday. Day afternoon next week? Friday?
Friday 23rd.
Time.
Amendment, all in, everybody in favour? Right. Yes.
Fishing or gone to the
favour? Amendment, I'm with amendment. Right. Council needs is against the motion, amendment. I now put an amendment, which becomes a motion. Is that all right? And I'm putting an amendment up as a motion.
Right. Okay.
I'm against.
And Councillor Nucci is against. Now on to item number 8 now, Council Resolution Report. Mover, Councillor Shinton.
Excuse me, I did ask.
Doesn't worry me.
Well, it'd be hopeless having a meeting of an evening of a Friday, because anyone going away for the weekend.
8:30 a.m.
I might not be here, but that don't matter.
8:30 is probably good if people want to, if they're going to work or whatever else, and they want to present to us.
Mm. I might be an absentee.
What have you got? 8:30
Friday morning?
Thank you.
We're going to the mate, Council Resolution Report. Have we voted on that? Councillor Capel. Motion. Those in favour.
Can I just ask some questions?
Yes, you can ask a question.
I'd like to know what happened to resolution number 362-18-19.
Are you able to tell us what that is?
It was to do with the youth centre. And we got letters asking how much we were making at the youth centre and why were some people not allowed in, those sort of letters. And so since I couldn't find a spot to put it, I put it at the end of a report on the youth centre. So and it's 362-18-19. And it says in the report that a letter has been started or something, but doesn't appear to have been.
No, I need to take that on board. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. That's still in progress.
Good. Okay. Thanks very much.
Any further questions on this item, Councillor Cable?
Resolution 198/17/18, information to Premier and Cabinet, waiting for supporting information from local businesses for the subdivision. What information from local businesses are they after?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. They wanted to know what businesses might have been interested in relocating up to there or purchasing land after the subdivision was done, if we were funded. So we've received that information now. So, yep, there will be an update on this next month.
In fact, that supporting information is going in today or tomorrow?
Possibly tomorrow, yep.
More discussion this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Three votes. Report August 2019. Councillor Lindsay. Seconder. Councillor Brady. In discussion on this item?
I'll just ask the question, what agencies? Are we on the item 10?
Nine.
I still not on. A bit premature there.
Rewrote. In discussion on this item? Put the motion. Those in favour? Carried. Give me an announcement. Item 11, Mayor's Fire Appeal.
Item 10.
Option of the 2019 Agency Information Guide. Councillor Nunzi. Councillor Brady. Any discussion on this item?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask, what agencies are we endorsing the policy for? Are we looking some new ones sneaking in to increase council's budget, where we're going to find more money to pay people, or what?
This is to do with the RMS agency that we run, and it's an information guide that we operate in regard to that.
That's solely for the RMS? Okay.
For that part of the business, yeah.
Any more discussion on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Unanimous, carried. Item 11, Mayor's Fire Appeal, which survive in finalisation. Remover, Councillor Cable, Councillor Nuzzi. Any discussion on this item?
Can a letter of thanks be sent from the Shire to the members of that committee who are not from the Shire, who aren't from the Shire's employment? So the community members. A letter of thanks.
That's in point two.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Sorry.
You move that, Councillor Cable. Seconder. Councillor Lewis.
No, Councillor Nutsy's already seconded.
Put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Nutsy, you in favour?
Oh, sorry, yes, yes.
Gary, unanimously. Public forum policy, number 12. Mover. Mover, number 12, Councillor Hill. Seconder, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion on this item? Councillor Doolan?
Yes, well, back to our previous thing with the motions for local government conference. Can we unilaterally move that we strike out that point without approval from OL of the local government? So we just...
I think in this particular instance, once you're successful, then we review the policy.
We've had a bit of luck with our renegade activities of late with the emergency services refusal to pay. We've had a win there. So.
We just have the policy but ignore it if somebody wants to speak.
Any more discussion on this item? The motion, those in favour?
Just before we finalise, Mr. Mayor, if the slim chance that this doesn't get up at the local government conference, what other ways could we allow the public to air their views at a day like today?
As far as the existing policy is concerned, I would be suggesting that if councillors have someone who come to them and have an issue and to get it onto the agenda, then the councillor is quite entitled to put forward a notice of motion. And that gets it onto the business paper, and then once it's on the business paper, then you can apply the policy as is. Now, that does require a little bit of coordination because the business paper for tonight, the notice of motion would have had to have been in by last Monday week. So if there's sufficient time, that's one way of dealing with it. Another way of dealing with it is, again, through a councillor. The councillor, if they're sufficiently concerned about the issue that is raised by the member of the public, then the councillor still can raise the issue within the council as a matter of great urgency, so long as, of course, the other councillors are on board and has the support of the mayor. Now, that is not for the person to speak, but that does entitle the councillor who is representing the public to come forward with an issue and say, for argument's sake, at the next council meeting that the council consider a report in relation to XYZ.
Well, that's one way about it. But what about, you know, it's still very important to hear directly from people. How can we do that if we're not successful?
I thought the mayor also had discretion to suspend standing orders at times, and a bit of flexibility is often permitted in those situations, especially in a small council and gallery like we've enjoyed, and certainly we've seen examples of that in the past. My mind goes back, for example, to the family daycare discussion we had last year, and we allowed a member of the public to speak when we suspended standing orders that time. So there are precedents, and I think there are tasteful ways of doing it.
I can't understand why it has to be even part of the policy. If the public forum no longer is part of the council meeting anymore under this legislation, then why does it even have to be in the black and white saying they can't speak to it, unless it's a motion in the business paper, because the two are now effectively separate entities. It's not actually part of the council meeting anymore.
I cannot recall what the reasoning was from the Office of Local Government. Other than that, I suspect there probably has been abuse of it in the past.
Once again, one size does not fit all.
Want to discuss this item?
No, I think...
Oh.
You can call a community consultation meeting at 4:45 p.m. prior to every council meeting and just have it totally separate. Very simple.
That's probably the easiest solution.
Or make it at 5 o'clock and make the council meeting start at 5:15. It's not hard.
I can move it that way. On this item.
I think that's a good idea. I think
that's the solution.
Until we hear back from the conference, I think if we have the meetings, we'll all be here at 5 o'clock, and if we've got one speaker, the council meeting starts at 5 past, and if we've got two, it starts at 10 past. If we don't have any, it starts at 5.
Yep.
Same as always.
What we do then?
That's what we do now.
Every board.
Mm.
I can move it. Here's the cable.
We even need a motion, just do it. You don't need a motion to have a... You can call a community meeting whenever you like.
We won't put a motion...
If we put it in the motion, OLG is going to say, oh, why are you doing that? Just do it.
Agree.
Well, I'll put the original motion up. Everybody in favour?
Against it.
Councillor Lewis against. You against, Fred?
No.
Right, yeah, Councillor Lewis. What, everybody in favour? Item 13, long-term financial plan. Member, Councillor Doolan, Councillor Clancy. Any discussion on this item?
One little thing, Mr. Mayor. Reading the report there, one of our biggest dangers over the coming years is the population decline. And just a comment, really, but I was just disappointed with the level of support we got from departmental-type figures about amending our local environment plan, because I think we all had a mood around the table here that we could encourage smaller block living, because we need to get more people living out here and more people on buses and more kids in the netball team, and we didn't get much support there at all. You know, we got to reduce the size of the blocks down the cooler end of the shire from 600 hectares to 500, but I still think they're still a bit too big for places. I think we should be looking to encourage more people to move here, but that's a job for another day. But that is just flows on from that report, which says that's one of our dangers. We look like losing 1,500 people over the next 10 years, according to that report, and over the shire, and I think we should be doing what we can to address that.
Question on this item? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 14, investment and term deposits, month ending July the 31st, 2019. The mover, Councillor Hill. Councillor Cable. Question on this item? The motion, those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 15, electronic key access to town pool gates.
Item 15.
Mover, Councillor Hill. Seconder. Seconder, Councillor Cable. In discussion this item, these items? Councillor Brady?
Well, firstly, I raised a couple of months ago about being in low socioeconomic communities and season tickets. You know, is there a way of a payment plan or something to allow families to be able to afford a season ticket so then they've, you know, they have access to a key to let themselves in? Because, you know, families cannot afford the, you know, season ticket. Well, some families, I shouldn't say all. You know, I haven't heard anything back on that at all. And we're nearly...
Since 16.
Oh, is it? Mm. Yeah, and we're nearly at the start of the season again.
On that point, Mr. Tai, we did include an item of prepayment into the... Council revenue policy, didn't we?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Yes, that's
the next item.
That's correct. In the fees and charges, there's season tickets can be purchased either half yearly or for half the year or for the full season, and also they may be purchased by a payment, a weekly payment or a prepayment system over a number of weeks. So there is an option for...
Well, that's good. We need to let the communities know then, because most families don't read these business papers. So.
Sure.
Put it out there.
For you, Mr. Mayor, Director Tai, would it be wise to trial one of these electronic gates before we roll it to all the pools?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not a bad idea, that, except you still have the cost. That's what I'm thinking of. You're still going to have the cost. Most of the cost is not associated with the lock itself. I mean, if we just had one lock, and we still need to pay for the software and the programming apparatus. So we're still up for about $10,000 if we're just going to trial one.
Might as well do all.
Mr. Mayor, I asked the question of $15,000 cost. Is that for all the pools or one pool?
Sure, Mr. Mayor, that's for all pools.
All the pools. And do the pools pay for it? Because none of the pools are making money at the moment, or they never have. They're basically bottomless pits financially. So where's the money come from? Are you going to put the gate fees up more, or just tell a few more farmers we can't fix their roads and the potholes will stay?
Three, Mr. Mayor. So the recommendation is that this item be considered alongside other budget submissions next year. It's not proposed to be implemented this financial year or for this swimming season. And certainly, yes, it is a capital cost, but the benefits of increased control and over gate entry, you know, there may be an increased return in income because of that increased control, but it's more about having better control over access.
Well, when it comes to the money, we might be able to find that in an item or two. As far as the people being able to get the money together to buy a season ticket, I've been told that the school in Binaway is pushing a scheme where there's apparently some state government funding of $100 each for children for sporting gear.
And
they're directing their kids down there to put it towards, or inviting their children down there to put that towards getting a season ticket. So that might be something that...
I think they have to be registered with a club, and the club has to be registered with Active Kids, and it has to be a program over like a 6-week or 10-week period by memory. It can't be just rolling up to the pool. It actually has to be a facilitated
program. Or join the swimming club or something.
Yeah, it's either swimming club or footy club. Yeah.
So that's, if someone's of a mind, that would be useful for a family. And having said that, though, if we're going to hand out the electronic keys, I'm not that, well, not in favour at all, really, of letting people under 18 have a key. I just worried about who, you know, someone goes there out of the time when the lifeguard's there and they're 15 and his little mates outside say, come on, let us in, and they let them in. I just think it's a job for a responsible adult or a parent to go at the times when there's no lifeguard there, and they're welcome to take their children and keep an eye on their kids. But other than that, I'd be happier if the key was for people who are older than 18, from my point of view. Others are welcome to have theirs, but having said that, I think we could like to see a trial, and if that was successful, we could roll it out everywhere, and we might pick up a few falls or pitfalls with it. But I think it's got the potential to be very good, to let people who are busy people, hard-working people, use the pool outside of the hours that we can afford to man it, and take their children with them. But yes, that's my thoughts on the matter, that you should be an adult to be able to go there by yourself.
On discussion this item.
And we need to move an amendment if we're going to trial it this year. Give us 10 minutes. We'll get that for you.
You're moving amendment that we'll trial it.
I am.
You got a seconder? Seconders?
Well, before we move on that, yes. If we had a trial which would cost $10,000, the total rollout would still only be $15,000, do you think?
That's correct. So a trial is still cost $10,000. If you're thinking about this season, you know, if council were to make a decision tonight to go ahead with the trial or full implementation, you know, the practical side of that is that it'll still take a few months. So it may not be ready for 5th of October.
But we'd still learn something if it was, you know, middle of January before we got it going or something.
That's true.
We got keys for this season coming, have we, without this electronic one?
Yes, we have keys available in the normal way for season ticket holders.
Well, my councillor, under the trial period at one pool, we'll leave you to leave the director to pick which pool.
I just think that's ammunition of these smaller communities. They'll be saying if we pick Coonabarra and Barrowdam, be saying
Coonabarra
gets everything. They got the new Butte thing.
Give it to Cooler. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Just pick one. But I just was thinking, what would be the most practical one? You know, one that is.
I suspect good. Councillors, the most practical ones would be Coonabarra is number one and Cooler is number two. For that, the reasons being, it's closest to our administration centres.
Go to Cooler then.
Both well used.
Got to have a seconder for your councillor Dillon's amendment, Councillor Cable.
I'll second it.
Just before we vote, I'll just ask the question, if it's not broken, why have we got to fix it? Pools belong to the towns. They were all built by public subscription. I think we're greatly over-regulating it. I think the KISS principle should apply and keep it simple. With more and more regulation, more and more rules, more and more this. The towns built the pools, the councils didn't. They belong to the towns, not to us.
I think through you, Mr. Mayor, that the idea is if you've got this electronic key, we know who goes and when they go. So that if we're letting people have access out of the hours when there's a lifeguard there, we're aware of who's there and when they're there. And it's not a prohibitive cost, I'd have thought.
It's going to cost $10,000 to put one pool. We might as well go to the six of them.
That's what I reckon, Toddy.
Find another five and put them in the lot if we're going to do it this year.
Well, that's no trouble to me, but I just thought we were after a trial to see if, you know, rather than having...
Yeah, it's going to cost $10,000 for one, $15,000 for six.
As the director explained, it's just another five next year and we can have the rest of them. You know, it won't be any more expensive. It's $15,000 for a trial for one. And then the rest of the rollout next year, another five, we can have them all. But if you want to not have a trial, that's all right. But I just thought it might be hasten slowly, that was all, in case there were unintended teething problems with electronics or something. You know, we could just have one and get it right and then go everywhere. It won't cost any more over the 2 years. It won't cost any more. We'd hope. That's all.
I'll put the amendment. Who's in favour? One, two, three. Against? One, two, three. 6-3. Amendment becomes a motion. I'll put the motion. Who's in favour? 1 to... You in favour?
Yeah, I'll vote for...
1, 2, 3, 4. Councillor Lewis? It's Councillor Lewis against. Everybody in favour? Motion.
Take out the other line.
Item 16, Swimming Pool Opening Hours, Timetable, Entry and Voluntary Lifetime. The mover? The mover? Councillor Hill, Councillor Doolan. Question on this item, Councillor Cable.
I'm anti raising the age to 14. I think it's way too prohibitive.
Yeah, well, as am I. I was just wondering the reason for that. Or we've read the advisory from the Life Saving, but I think the where is it here? There. Advice comes back to the parents. If the children aren't, parents should maintain visual contact between 11 and 14 years of age for weak or non-swimmers. I think if we stick with that, I think that is good for the reasons that were explained so eloquently before. I think it's need to be further convinced of that. You can be convicted of a crime at 10, but we're not going to let you go to the pool. I think it's a bit harsh. The other, well, should we solve that one first and then I've got some other issues that I've got with the change there. I think there's a submission there from the principal of Dunedoo Central School who makes a very good point that if the teachers are going to be the only people supervising when the schools are there, we have to make the pools closed to everybody except the school, because the teachers can't be expected to look after the school children and any other character that might want to be at the pool at that time. So I think if that's going to be our policy, that the schools are looking after the children themselves, they have to have the pool to themselves.
Mr. Tai, that can be accommodated, can it not?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. So exclusive use for a user group or a school.
Well, just
during the day, during a weekday.
Well, doesn't have. You know, I don't think it has to be the case when there's adults there with aquarobics or something. But I just think when schools have it with children, I think if we're asking the school to provide the supervision for the students, they can't be asked to supervise other people. So the school would have exclusive use. I thought it did
now. Well, so through you, Mr. Mayor. So the schools have the students at the pool. Who else would be at the pool at that time? It's likely the only other people would be adults. So you're going to exclude that group of people from the pool when the school children are there.
Yeah, definitely.
The most sensible adults will get out real quick.
Well, it's like hiring the hall or something like that. If the school's got a booking for use of it, I think they should have sole use of it as well.
I just think, you know, from a child safety point of view, I think that's what we should be doing. And, you know, the schools are... there was a bit there about collecting the money. I think they're a reliable, regular returnees. That'll be all pretty smooth, I'd have thought.
Councillor Lewis?
Same argument as before, Mr. Mayor. I don't know how our generation's all still alive without all these rules and regulations to protect us. I just shake my head in disbelief. We should all be dead or drowned or whatever. as the Logan ladies from Cooler said, I've been going to the pool for a long time. At the age of 10, I survived, and everyone in here survived. Well,
if you're a responsible adult and your child has a disability or a weakness, well, you should be responsible enough to look after your own child. But once again, one size does not fit all.
There's a lot of kids out there 10 years old can swim a lot better than I'd ever hoped to. There's a lot that can't, but it's horses for courses. And if I'm voting against the whole thing. If that 12-year-old thing's in there, it should stay at 10.
Want to discuss on this item? Anybody?
With the ladies, what they had to say, totally agree. Would we rather the kids be in the pool and having fun and being active and that than doing any social things, costing us more money, you know, doing any social behaviour?
You're going to move amendment against age?
Yeah.
Second Councillor Grady, Councillor Cable. Put an amendment. Everybody in favour?
So just for clarity there, Mr Mayor, it will be... the recommendation 1 through to 4, except for in 3, that there be no change to the age limit.
Change. You wanted to change, didn't you?
That's where it is now.
We're just not changing it.
Put the motion.
Change it to 10. Putting the amendment.
Amendment.
Yep.
I'll put the amendment as a motion. Everybody in favour? Councillor Carey.
And that was unanimous, Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Here in the Redmond Town Beautification Committee, item number 17, mover, Councillor Brady, Councillor Clancy, Councillor Lewis, any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I've received representation from several constituents about this, and there's a lot of feeling in the town that they want a subcommittee like all the other subcommittees around town, the council representative and some community representatives, to put forward what the people want, not what the council decrees in the way of town beautification. There's three ladies real keen to help kick it off if they can get council's agreement on it.
What option do you want to move, Councillor
Lewis? I think it's option one the ladies are talking about, establishment of an advisory committee.
So we called a community meeting, had about 20-odd people come.
Yep, that's correct, they told me that.
It was just around the table discussion. We had a vote, it's there in the report. We spoke about pros and cons on both, voted for the people that were here, and I think it was 11-6. So, saying that if it is a subcommittee or under the umbrella of another organisation, like the pros of that was anyone can be on it, those ladies can be on it, anyone, they can have 30 people on the committee if they wanted. But my concerns were too, if we were just a committee, how serious would council take us? Like, you know, have we got any, are we a toothless tiger or, and, you know, is council going to listen? But so it was just thrown out there. Majority of people voted and said, you know, they'd rather a subcommittee of a volunteer organisation.
Mr. Mayor, what the ladies were alluding to, the way I understood, was that it's a council-run advisory committee, in as much as the council representation on it, and council staff on the committee, but some members of the public also, the same as the traffic committee or the hysterical society or whatever or whatever. I should have said historical society.
Who suggested option number one?
Pardon? Yeah, that's correct. That's what I was asked to speak on behalf of.
Discussion?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the beautification strategies. Coolah has a streetscape plan, and yet it's been ignored over and over. So will council actually look at these plans instead of misplacing them all the time? We've talked about this before, that each community has its preferred bins, its preferred seats. Paving, yes, it's dearer up front to put in, but cheaper long term when you've got to dig up and fix a main. Coolah's got a streetscape plan and only one section was ever completed. And I pointed this out last year. A whole heap of cement was put in the next block, which is part of that plan, and that was an opportunity to kick off the paving there, but no, cement went back down, which is hotter and can be slippery, and with trees it gets out of whack. At least the paving, you can pick them up and re-flatten them regularly. So if you're going to do these strategies and plans, are we going to work to them? Because to date, the track record hasn't been good.
That's option three. Anybody in favour of option two?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to option two. With option one, I would assume it would be, what, one or two people from every town. That's 12 on your committee so far, or 6 or 12. Where we're going to meet every town, you know, like you're asking people then to travel long distances, would have been easier to run under the umbrella of the community groups, and they exist in every town, and we have a coordinator there, and they're incorporated. They can raise money outside of the council. All they have to do is bring their plans to council and have them endorsed. As Councillor Capel's saying, yeah, they have a plan down there. We did have a plan here, but we took what we considered at the time the best option, because we do still have trucks travelling down the main street. So I believe that if you went for option one, and as Councillor Brady said, he had about 20 or 30 people or something turned up to his first meeting, the way council committees are run, we're not going to have a committee of 30 people or 20 people. It's going to be some community representatives that we select, and I think it's better if they they run it themselves and come under the volunteer organisations that occur, that are in every town in the Shire. Thank you.
Move your microphone.
Oh, yes.
So is there any way that we can have a formal MOU with council to, if we went with option two, that council does take us serious, or us, or the committee, I should say?
Barradine haven't got volunteers. They got the progress run there, and council give them a certain amount of money, and two women do it. And I think if you went and got volunteers to go in with, to give them a hand, they'd just likely take off.
And it's not more, it's, you know, a lot of the work won't be undertaken by the, you know, volunteers. You know, that's
big
sort
word,
of.
Can't they?
Yeah, it'll be more like accessing grants that local government can't access, you know, your community safety, your mental health, your PHNs, all that sort of thing that, you know, council mightn't be able to, apply for. It just opens up the bucket more, and then when there is grants that are available for local government, what's stopping council from applying?
And you'll have a plan that's got the community consultation behind it.
Lewis?
I can't see why options one and two can't be merged together. If you've got, I think what the complaint
is from the public. I don't know if it was made at Katie's meeting, but they want to have some input into what goes into the street or into their towns and so on and so forth. And the size of the committee, as Peter says, might be a problem, but do you have to have one committee for the whole shire? Can't each town have its own little subcommittee and their local councillor be representative on it? That's a complaint, because they feel that they're being governed.
I think they'll be governed more as a council committee.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. We'll be under the public council. If we're a volunteer committee outside of council, we can do what we want and then, you know, get things endorsed by council. And saying that, if it is a committee of council, you know, and I, like I said at the meeting, I really think that we've got the same goal and we want the same outcome. It's just the journey there that we need to jump on together to get there. We all want our towns beautiful. We all want it, a nice place to spend our time. But it's just getting there. And the three ladies that have contacted you, very passionate community people, and I totally agree with what they're saying, what they want for the community. But there's no guarantee, if it's going to be a committee of council, there's no guarantee those three ladies are going to be on the committee, because it's us around the table here that vote. If we have 30 applications and we've only got, six seats...
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Not one of them will get on there, or one might, or one... You know.
The airport committee, and then they haven't got the whole lot of the councillors going there, and they've got a council representative to bring information back to council, but the committee, the aerodrome committee's run pretty independent of the council. I think a gardening committee would also.
For you, Mr. Mayor, if it's under the auspice of a community organisation such as a Progress or Development Group, you also don't have the funding costs. If it's a 355 committee of council, then there's budget requirements to staff and minute the meetings, travel to the meetings, etc.
It should be just under the development groups, or in Dunedoo there's actually a land care group, so I'm not too sure whether things would clash or quite what that scene would be. But
and just sorry, comment again is one of the ladies' concerns is, like Anne Louise just said, minute takers and that, and there it's a serious concern is, if we aren't a committee of council, and there's no minute takings,
you should still have minutes being taken.
Yeah, I know. But then that's their concern, that it will just be pushed off the table. It's been pushed off the table for 20-something years. That's their concern, and I get that concern as well.
So. Which then goes to your suggestion of the memorandum of understanding that it will be
taken on board. Taken serious, and, it's not just a little group of volunteers that are jumping up and down.
Option one looked like it was put there for Coonabarabran alone.
Well, this is what it's about. This is about Coonabarabran. Yeah. It's not a shire-wide one. It is about Coona.
But it will go across the shire.
Yeah, well, and fair enough.
But he also reigned around after. I don't think Barradina would want to change on what they got at the moment, but presently.
And that's their community's choice. And, if we did have a committee of council and that... Why should someone in Cooler have the say in Barradine's Main Street or what they're doing?
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all.
Fortune on the Main Street in Dunedoo because we've got such a huge... We'll have to spend a fortune before long because all the trees are dying. That's another issue.
Finding everywhere else, don't you?
God's fault for not raining.
We've got three options here. Which one are we going to go?
Two.
One. I'll put number one up first. Five. Passed. Option two. Four. Option one's. How do we do that, Deborah?
I'll need a motion from a councillor.
One of them. Who's putting a motion up for the number one? We've got Councillor Nunty. Who's a seconder? Councillor Lewis? I'll put the motion. Who's in favour?
Can we just clarify something first, please, Mr Mayor? So this is going to be the establishment of an advisory committee on of council in Coonabarabran.
Yes, I think so. So what I'm thinking here is that the terms of reference can then act as a template for other towns, and if other towns wish to have a similar committee, all the work will be done and it would just be a matter of populating that committee with the relevant parties in the relevant towns. It's been an interesting debate, but at the end of the day, these committees are going to be looking to council to coordinate and spend the money, so there has to be some degree of order about these committees. So whether we like it or not, council's going to have to play some responsible role within them. The other thing is, option two, we're seeing that some towns, as we've already heard, have got no committees, no volunteer groups, so they get knocked out straight away by option two. Whereas with option one, if any interested parties come forward, we can support them a lot better. The other thing is, option two just invites conflict, because we're already seeing within organisations in Coonabarabran, and this is where the focus of this has been, we've got 2357 fighting with Chamber of Commerce, and then for all you know, Rotary may want to have a role and someone else may want to...
I'm on both summing up? And there's no conflict.
What's this going? What's coming?
Yeah, no. That's what you two say, but the thing is, that's not what all of us are hearing. The other thing is, as a rule...
Is this summing up, or what is this? The motion has been lost or won, or whatever you want to say, so let's move on.
The mayor can stop me if he wants to stop me.
I
find that extraordinary coming from you, Councillor Shinden, given that you've basically had free rein to say whatever you like for the first part of this meeting. You've not been stopped. You've spoken over people. You've said whatever you wanted to say, and now all of a sudden you're pulling points of order.
That'll do, Councillor Cable.
May I suggest to the mover of the motion that maybe there should be a link to option three, that the 355 committee, advisory committee, works towards and inputs into a town beautification strategy, so it's linked to an overall strategy being developed at some point in time.
That can be part of the terms of reference, I would have thought.
To him.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, may I suggest that the recommendation includes a report back to council so that those terms of reference can be established. So,
Billy, that's just normal procedure, I would have thought. Mr. Mayor, can I finish the sentence that when I was broken midway? So volunteer groups, from my experience, and just like many people around this room, I've had a lot of experience with volunteer groups in this shire for quite a while. And we have to accept that the volunteer groups in the shire, because of our falling population, our ageing population, our falling income levels, they're struggling. So to secure the longevity of these groups, to secure the stability of these groups is not easy. So if we're going to be having projects and proposals coming through these groups, there has to be some continuity, and I can't see any other way for that continuity to be provided except through council having some sort of say.
And where do we go now? Motion. Against. Councillor Brady.
Something about this. We've got six development coordinators in the six major towns. to work with the development groups and the Progress Association with volunteers. I can't see why we can't make more use of that situation and use the development groups or Progress Associations to run the scene, town beautification, all the six towns.
That'll do. This debate is closed. We'll go on to item 18, tree proposal for Charles Street. Got a mover?
Well, I'd like to... Councillor Doolan? I'd like to move a different motion, if I could, and that would be that we take no further action in regard to the trees in Charles and Cowper Street and re-vote the funds back into the budget.
So that would be option two in that case, wouldn't it? Is that what, abandon the project?
Well, I think it goes a bit further than that by...
Well, doesn't the money automatically go back into the budget?
I haven't got a second yet.
I'm sorry.
Well, we could get some advice from the GM, yeah. But...
We want to move it a second before we start.
I'll second it.
Mover? You mover?
Yep.
Okay. Going back into the town beautification budget?
No, the budget.
Could the general manager clarify what happens if we go for option two?
Take no action, and nothing would happen to the money. It'd just fall aside. But what Councillor Doolan has suggested, in my view, provides greater clarity around that.
Well, if that's the case, that's good.
Any further debate on this item? I'll put the motion. Harry?
Are you unanimous, Mr. Mayor?
You're unanimous.
Aaron needs to catch up.
Exactly, you say.
Re-roll.
I've got it noted, councillors. I can take that up later.
Okay. Item 19, Asset Management Plan, Road. Mover. Councillor Cable, Councillor Shenton, any discussion on this item? Any discussion? Put the motion, those in favour?
Just to that, though, if more information comes to hand that can be added in, such as access to fire trails or new bits of road we suddenly discover we own that we weren't aware of?
It will be a document that gets reviewed.
Item 20, annual... Put the motion. Are you in favour?
What are we voting on, Mr. Mayor?
The road.
The road? I wanted to ask a question on that. I'll just ask the question on item 4 and consult with the community on acceptable levels of road, of the road conditions and on expected levels of road maintenance. My experience in the bush is no matter where you are, your road's the most important one in the whole shire. So how do you come to a happy ending to that story when everyone wants their road perfect and they don't care about the other bloke's road? But to what level are we going to take the roads to? Because when you have public consultation, they're all going to say, oh, I want my road graded once every 12 months, once every 6 months, and bugger them other people, they're not as important as us.
Put the motion up in here because it's started on it. Everybody who's in favour.
We've had that before. Yeah.
Carried unanimously. Annual permits for Norton D6, cats and dangerous and restricted dogs. Mover. Councillor Hill. Seconder. Councillor Lewis.
To Mayor, aye. Think this is unenforceable. You're just going to tax illegal, honest people, and the people who are not honest are going to continue to go beyond everyone's backs and hide their hunting dogs and
pig dogs and fighting dogs and everything away, and by putting the costs up, you're just making it harder for people with a fair income.
This is a state government recommendation,
don't it? I don't care if it's a state recommendation or not. I've stated it publicly before, one size does not fit all. We have got a problem in this shire, and I can really vouch for the number of stock I'm losing to bloody wild abandoned pig dogs. I'll bet you one of them's not registered. None of them would be. And those people are not going to pay $190. You'd never track them down. I track them down with a gun. But to make honest people pay $190 for a dog is ridiculous. Per annum, same as dissect cats or whatever. There's more wild cats running around this shire than what there are domestic ones. I think you tell the state government to put it where the sun don't shine. My opinion.
For discussion of this item.
Through to Director Ryan, is there a mechanism, if you have an animal that's a restricted breed and considered dangerous, is there a mechanism where they can have it not declared dangerous, like if it's gone to a puppy school training or something?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's a difference. So your restricted dog breeds are automatically recognised. So there's some that are allowed and some aren't, and the ones that aren't allowed are the ones that they're trying to capture here because they've got a reputation, I suppose, for tearing things up and attacking. Dangerous dog's different. That's got to be declared. So there is a difference between the two. Yeah. Does that answer your question, or you want to know more?
But there's no way to get an animal, like, if it's a restricted breed, but it's the dopiest thing on four legs, you can't somehow get a certificate saying this is a dopey dog that's never going to attack.
No.
Because we've all seen some of them.
Once it's restricted, it's restricted. End of story. Yep.
I don't think we've got to say state legislation. And once again, I agree with Councillor Lewis.
Well, if the state wanted, let the state do it. Well, we just don't put another inspector on to go around and get abused and spat at and kicked, which dog catchers do. If the state want it, let the police do it.
I'm through you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the onus is on the owner of the dog. And if it's not and how we're going to implement that, I'm not sure yet. That's something I need to work on. I've got a little while to get my head around it, but, yeah.
What you're going to do is make the people, the outlaws that are there now, you're going to make them bigger and better by putting this price on. You'd be putting up the price of good dogs for them to hide away for the people, and it won't make the situation better. It'll make it a lot worse.
Oh, I'll put the motion in favour.
I'm against it as well. I'm with Ray.
I'm for it in the sense that we don't have a say anyway. I know why it had to come to us.
Mr. Mayor, I'll be recording councillors Brady and Lewis against.
Very. Development application number 21. Mover. Councillor Brady, Councillor Hill. On this item. I'll put the motion, those in favour. Carried unanimously. Item number 22, notice of motion to assist ratepayers purchasing in rainwater tanks. Moved. Over. Councillor Doolan. Seconder. Councillor Nucci. Any debate on this?
Yeah. I ask a question. As a plumber, I'm bound by the regulations and rules set down by Office of Local Government and State Government. If you put a rainwater tank in it, I've got to put a sign on it that says, danger, rainwater, do not drink. So, how are you going to get around that one? Tell the people in Sydney to wake up, that we're in the bush, not the city. But that's the rule.
In my understanding, it's not supposed to go over the kitchen sink either.
Would go on your garden. So, I think this is something we could have a look at. We don't have to go through it, and I know that council can't be all things to all people, but I think if we had a good look at this, it could send a strong message to the community that you know, there's a sense of a unified sense of purpose between the council and the community to do something about water conservation, which, as we know, has been a front and centre issue for us for far too long. And it also sort of highlights the strengthens the value that we put on water. So I thought we something we might be able to get a report back to council. Probably I might just amend the recommendation there for next month. I know that the staff have got a lot to do, so we could probably make it 3 months' time, possibly. That'll be fine by me. But I was just thinking along the lines that we could use a set amount of funds that we've got invested that don't have a tied grant purpose to them for this project, possibly, that we could, once the ratepayers were to take it up, well, then we'd obviously have to take a charge over their land, which I think we have with the rate, so that we made sure that we got it back, that we could, the interest rate that we could be applied to be just something similar to what we have our funds invested for, which would be cheaper than the ratepayer could get their money for. Probably over something like 5 years, cost of the tank plus on costs, which would include the you know, the cost of doing the paperwork from the council's end. And tanks have to be purchased within the shire, and one per ratepayer, up to the value of the funds we'd look at using, and then up to a set value, so that somebody doesn't want us to fund a 100,000-litre tank for their backyard or something like that. But, yes, I just commend this recommendation, which is that we get a report back and just see, you know, my motion was, do we check the feasibility, the practicability, and also the desirability? And if that was comes back to us in a report, we could make an informed choice.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, can I just ask, who's eligible? All ratepayers?
Ratepayer.
Oh, okay.
So
it's not just town water, it's everybody.
I think you'd have to... Well, that was what I was thinking, but we'll get that in the report. But I thought, to make it fair, but if, you know, if it was one set value up to a set limit... I know these things, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help, can go terribly awry. I was just telling the general manager the other day that there's a... was a thriving solar industry, solar rooftop industry in Victoria. People were spending an average of $6,500 to get roof panels put on their house, and the industry was going well. So the Victorian government thought they'd come along and help stimulate the industry. So they put $2,500 grant on and were knocked over in the rush for people wanting $2,500. So they quickly put a limit on how many they could allocate each month. And now that limit is allocated in 2 hours every month. And the solar industry has collapsed. Of course, everyone's saying, oh, I'll just wait, my turn will come. But anyway, all of that can be fleshed out in this report. We might not go there, but I just thought we could we'd get some advice on it and see where we go.
Want to discuss on this item, Councillor Nucci?
I think it's an excellent idea to study. Doesn't mean we necessarily have to do something. There are so many ways one could approach this. But the principle of conserving water is great. The principle of stimulating local business, both in selling the tanks and installing the tanks, is a great thing too. I think we don't need to rush it. it would be also possible for, say, over the next month or so, for councillors and even members of the public, if that was our desire, to submit their ideas as to how we could go about this. It could be a rebate scheme, it could be a full subsidy, it could be a part subsidy, it could be something that goes out, say, with a rates notice, with a voucher. There are just so many ways of doing this that could work. And the other thing to keep in mind is, do we want to apply some money through these grants that are coming up to help subsidise this scheme or run this scheme? But I think it's a scheme that would be very well received by the public, and I think there can only be positives come out of it. I can't think of many negatives to come out of it. It's just a matter of finding the way to get the best penetration for the scheme and to make it as fair as possible for everybody.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item number 22. Reports to be considered in closed council. I'll hand over to the general.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item 23.1, which is the Organisational Development Monthly Report, August 2019. There's a recommendation there that it go into closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Nucci, second to Councillor Clancy. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
Item number 23.2, which is the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. Recommendation that it go into closed council under 10A2G of the local government.
Councillor Cable.
Item number 23.3, which is a tender for the Barradine Skate Park construction, and goes into closed council under 10A2D1.
Councillor Nucci, Councillor Clancy.
Item number 23.4, tender for the screening and crushing of at Warrumbungle Quarry. Recommendation that goes into closed council under 10A2D1 of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Nucci, Councillor Hill.
Those, please, Mr. Mayor.
Put those, debate on those items. Favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to present their arguments to council as to why council should not go into closed council to consider those reports. Mr. Mayor, there are no representations from the public. There is a further recommendation there that council now go into closed council to consider those items, etc.
Mover. Councillor Brady, Councillor
Can I just ask a question, just for if it's for future meetings, is before we go into closed council, is there a chance that we can break for dinner or whatever so then we have time to, like, it's good to see this amount of people in the gallery, then just kick them out the door and we go on with our thing. We're going to have something to eat anyway. Like, is there any way that we can...
You can move that we go into recess for a minute if you want.
Well, can standing I move that we do that?
Standing orders.
Yes, you read, Councillor.
I just think it's a good chance to meet our ratepayers.
Righty-o. Everybody in favour?
Well, but I need our time.
Carry.
Sorry.
5 minutes.
It's about drought works. Eric, you turned off. Mr. Mayor, we've just returned from the adjournment, and council was considering the going into closed council. So a resolution is required from council now to go into closed council, so on. We had Councillors Brady and Nutsi before. Could change that. Councillor Keynes.
Item 23. All right. Everybody in favour? Debate.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor,
put the motion to everybody in favour.
To go into close?
Yes.
Sorry. I'll keep up.
It's just as well we don't drink here.
Item 23-1.
So we're going to close council, Mr. Mayor, at 7:16 p.m. Doors are closed and the recording off. Councillor Nuzzi, the Mayor does have a late mayoral minute.
This is at once, so I'm going. Apologies.
Hey, Nella.
Thank you, councillors. We've returned from closed council, and the resolutions of council in closed council were for item 23.1, which is the Organisational Development Monthly Report. On the motion of councillors Clancy and Annuzzi, that the Organisational Development Monthly Report for the month of August be noted for information. Next was item number 23.2, Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Report. And the resolution of council there on the motion from councillors Annuzzi and Capel was that council, one, endorses the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, two, endorses and adopts a feasibility report provided as an attachment to this report, three, supports option 10 as outlined in the feasibility report, which includes demolition of all units, four, submit funding variations for the project under the Restart New South Wales funding and National Stronger Regions funding to reflect the changes to the project as detailed in option 10. Five, seek the support of the local, state and federal members to utilise the remaining funds from the project on option 10 and to support lodgement of a fresh funding application to rebuild a smaller number of units towards the rear of the site. Next comes item number 23.3, which is a tender for the Barradine Skate Park. On the motion of councillors Shinton and Clancy, that one, tenders received for the construction of the skate park project at Barradine are not accepted. Two, authorise the general manager in accordance with clause 178 in brackets 3 in brackets E of the local government general regulation to enter into negotiations with Convict Propriety Limited for the construction of the skate park project at Barradine. Three, should negotiations be successful, then council authorise the general manager to accept the tender. And four, the general manager report to council on the tender negotiations. In relation to item number 23.4, tender for the screening and crushing at Warrumbungle Quarry, on the motion of councillors Annuzzi and Clancy, that council accept BMR Quarries Proprietary Limited as the preferred supplier of rock screening and crushing services at Warrumbungle Hard Rock Quarry until 30th of June 2021 at an estimated annual price of $392,250, inclusive of GST. Should the preferred supplier not be available at any stage, then Council accept Mars Group Council, as the alternative supplier at an estimated annual price of $400,950, inclusive of GST. Close Council, Mr. Mayor.
Motion.
Just to make
late mayoral minute ground assistance.
Mr. Mayor, there has been a request from the JO that Council consider further drought assistance programs, and the recommendation is that council make representations for further drought assistance, and that the highest priority be for rate rebate if the federal government provides a second round of drought communities program funding. So if council is agreeable, then we advise the JO that that is the council's preference, and then make representations to the federal member for parks to pursue such assistance, and as a third point that council consider further ways in which the state government can best provide drought assistance relief to the local government area, and provide that advice to the general manager on these.
With the rate rebate, would that be for every rate payer? How's it going to be done? You can't just do farmers because you've got all the contractors suffering, but then you shouldn't do everyone because there are others that have no impact whatsoever because they're in jobs that they get paid well and it hasn't affected them. So where would that draw the line?
I think you're just going to have to accept that it'll have to be a blanket, and that everyone is going to have a degree of success as a result. By the time you go through and trying to work out who's who, you've spent a lot of time and effort. If they're agreeable, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Brady. Seconder. Councillor Lewis. Any discussion on this article? Motion, those in favour? Carried, unanimous. There will be no further business. The meeting will close at 7:44. Ending.
Thank you.